Yes, they would all gather, and it was a real night out. Not just a shopping night, like the shopping night is in Penrith of a Thursday night. Everybody's rushing here and rushing there to one shop and another before 9 o'clock, and nobody was in a hurry those days. And it's just so different. One of the things that in the shop when I had my own shop was the GPS Regatta Day. That was a big day in Penrith, and you weren't allowed to park in the main street. And I would go through gallons and gallons of milk with milkshakes and all sorts of drinks and ice cream and all that sort of thing. And different people and all the neighbourhood around in the back streets would come around, and they gathered on my corner, and most of my chairs would finish up out on the footpath, and they would sit to watch all the buses and the cars coming through with the different colours of the different schools coming up to the regatta and the trains, and there would be crowds. There'd be hundreds of people get off the train at Penrith Station and walk down to the river. And they were the people, of course, that bought the milkshakes and drinks and food and all that sort of thing. And it would be a fantastic day, and everybody looked forward to that. Now, the GPS Regatta can come to Penrith and go, and we would not even know it was even held. It just doesn't happen in Penrith anymore, as far as the Penrith people are concerned.
Incredible, isn't it? What about the Penrith Panthers? Is that,
Well, the
does that
Penrith
affect?
Panthers, that's something that's hap that has come to Penrith in the latter years here now. Of course, naturally, we're all Penrith Panther minded at the present moment. To me, I think that they're just getting too rough. I don't like rough games. Although I follow and make sure that I know who did win. And show days was our days, and Penrith Show used to be a big day, and then it became, or 2 days, then it became night shows, and we always had a stand over there with we did have new car agencies and motorcycle agency, and we always had a stand at the Penrith Show. And so that was always one of our main interests. And then, of course, as I say, I'm in a service club. Oh, I'm in more than one service club. I'm in Innerwheel, and I'm in the Quota Club, which is a service club too. And we always have a stand and settle different things at the shows. Plus, I'm in the different other auxiliaries, like the hospital auxiliary and the St Stephen's Ladies Auxiliary. And of course, when the children were going to school, I was always in the children's things that they were in too. My daughter was in Brownies, and my boys were in Scouts, and so you were always active in taking part in those. And when they had processions, well, we always used to do up our car as something or other in the procession. And that's always been, we've always been very community minded, like that sort of thing. And
And did you make, I suppose you made friends in those community groups that you've kept over the years?
yes, that's right. The Quota Club, which started in October 1956, my husband had an accident in the process of getting the theatre opened, and he was on crutches for 7 weeks. And a letter came of introduction to this organisation while he was on crutches, and I was trying to run his business on my own at the same time. And I would give him the mail to open, and he read this letter and told me I should go. And I thought, oh, I haven't got time. and it was night time, an evening meeting at the log cabin. And so he said, well, just go along. You don't know who has invited you. So I went along to this meeting, feeling very lost and very strange, because of all the people I knew, I didn't know any of the ladies that turned up to the meeting. And they formed a provisional club, so they had to have a provisional office bearers, and I came home, and I don't know how it happened, but I came home being the provisional president. Then went on to become the charter president. And I was charter president for 2 years, and I still am, and I'm still an active member in the Quota Club. And I don't have time to go to Inner Wheel, because Inner Wheel is on a Monday and they start about midday, and that's a very busy day for me after the weekend, so I don't have time to attend too many of the Inner Wheel meetings. I've had, with the Quota Club, I have had 2 trips overseas, and that to me is a marvellous organisation and a marvellous friendship, because I've met so many ladies in other countries that I still correspond with, and in other towns like Gunnedah, where I was at the weekend. I looked up a couple of the quotarians up there, and we had a laugh about different things we'd been to, and it's a business and professional ladies organisation, and I used to look forward so much to going to Quota once every 2 weeks. It was like a month's holiday to me, being in business and not being able to get out.
Mm.
So that's just some of the organisations that we have. And when our children were teenagers and we leased the service station out to keep our children together, and it then became our children plus all their friends, we bought a boat, and they learnt to ski on the Nepean. So I used to spend my Sunday mainly driving a ski boat, and as fast as you would come in with 2 skiers, the other 2 were ready to go out. So instead of my family being 3, it was usually about 9. And I had so many of my children's friends used to stay over the weekend. You never knew how many. I cooked for 9 of the 9, quite a few years I cooked for 9 in the family, yes. And it's only just now, in this last 18 months, 2 years, that we're down to Darby and Joan with 2 of us. Mm.
Yeah. So you've had such a busy life.
Mm.
I think your father might have been wrong when he said you weren't strong enough to be a nurse.
That's right. If he'd have seen what happened the day he passed away, he definitely would have. As I said, he wouldn't let me be a nurse and said I wasn't strong enough, but if he wanted a splinter taken out of his finger or he wanted anything done like that sort of thing, he would not let my mother touch him. It was me that had to do it. And it was always me he turned to for help in anything like that. I always said that if I ever had to go out and do some work or be desperate or something like that, I would go and knock on the hospital door for a job.
Stop. Well, is there anything else you can think of that you'd like to tell me about?
Oh, well, there are lots of things, but on the spur of the moment, I wouldn't know where to start. Lots of things come to my mind when I think about one thing and it leads to something else that I just couldn't. When my children were young, and up until they started wearing grey serge trousers to high school mainly, I made all my own children's clothes made my own clothes, and I made the girl that worked for me in the shop, I made her frocks too. And I never had a bought jumper. I had a hand-knitted jumper for everyone. All my children had hand-knitted jumpers, and my wife did too. I even knitted myself about 3 frocks, I think it was, altogether, and many pairs of socks.
Did you do this in the shop?
Yes, when my knitting was always around somewhere, sort of thing, and I did all my own housework and cleaning and washing and ironing and everything like that. And there was no polyester those days either, it was all starch things. And so I
forgot. So you had a busy life, and it sounds as though you've enjoyed it too.
Oh, yes. Well, I can't sit down, even like, as I say, if I watch the news now, I can't sit down if I haven't got my knitting needles in the hand. I can't sit down and just watch something. I've got to be doing something with my hands all the time, and I've been like that always. And my dressmaking runs in my family. My mother was a dressmaker, and I have her machine today, which I think she paid £7.10 for it from Anthony Horden's. And my father was always going to buy me a machine so that I had my own machine, but much to my father's disgust, I bought a machine on time payment at 2 and 6 a week from Bon Marsh, and he didn't believe in time payment things those days. If you didn't have the money, you didn't get it. You saved up till you did have the money. And I have my treadle machine. I still use it. I have got an electric machine now, but I still use it. And only 3 weeks ago, my granddaughter has asked me, when I'm finished with it, can she have it?
Did you make these quilted cushions?
Yes, I did.
They're beautiful.
Yes, I did.
They'd take a lot
fancy
of time.
Fancy work and all that sort of thing. I used to put the fancy work in the show, in Penrith Show and Camden Show and Ludnam Show, sew all the year round in hand sewing. And we did that when we went to school. My mother brought me up that way because she was a dressmaker, and both my grandmothers, both one... My father's mother was a dressmaker, and she made she even made for the royal family, and she used to make the professor caps and the gowns. She did all that, and Dad's sister worked at Harrison Boyd's, which was a place in Pitt Street, Sydney, that used to supply them. And my grandmother on my mother's side was a dressmaker too, and so dressmaking runs in my family, so it's no problem to me. When I often would arrive home at 3 o'clock on the Saturday afternoon from work, because it wasn't all day shopping on a Saturday, it was till 12:30. Then I had a music lesson after that, and then ride home to Ludnam, and I would have a dance to go and play for that night, and I would open my wardrobe door and say, like we all say, I've got nothing to wear. And I always had some spare pieces of material, so I'd go and pick out a piece of material and run up a dress and wear it that night. That happened quite often. I paid for the machine. As I said, it was 2 and 6 a week, the payments on it. And in between going to work and playing for dancers night, I didn't play Monday nights and Tuesday nights. So I used to always make a dress, and my mother used to get 2 and 6 to make a dress those days, and she would give me 2 dresses to make, and that was for the payments on my machine. So I paid my machine off in 1 year instead of 2 years, making 2 dresses every week. I had a set thing about that. And my father was quite upset because he refused to have the machine in the house because he had to sign the papers for me to have it until the morning the man was coming to get it. And then against his will, he did sign it. And when I paid it off in 12 months, instead of 2 years, he wanted to give me some money towards it, and it upset him right up until the day he died that I would not accept anything for it because I was so determined, and I told him I wouldn't take a halfpenny from him towards paying for the machine. So I was that so determined. Mm-hmm. That is what happened on the machine. Mm-hmm. And
did you have time to practice the piano? I presume the piano was your instrument.
The piano, that's right, yes. I used to get up in the morning and I did 1.5, 2 hours of practice before I left to go to work. And we had the travelling by push bike in from Ludnam down to a fine art. It used to take me 35 minutes to ride from Penrith, from Ludnam to Penrith, which was 11 miles exactly from my gate at home to the shop I worked at. I worked in a music shop in Penrith, music and lending library and musical instruments and all that sort of thing. And it was right in the middle of Penrith. I think it's the State Bank, or it used to be the Rural Bank, but I think it's the State Bank there now, is on the built on the site where the shop was. And I worked there. I learnt to play lots of other instruments while I was there as well. And I nearly had a heart failure, I think, on about 3 weeks after I started there. My boss went away for 3 weeks and left me his shop to look after. I treated it as my own shop, and I think that's been one of the best things that ever happened to me, because from there on I've always sort of treated everything as though it was my own business, and that's what happened with my job. And from there we would go then and play for dances as well.
And have your children growing up in the 50s, do you think they've carried on any of your industrious nature?
Yes, well, my daughter sews, knits, and she's just as active, and she's only stayed home from work while she's had her two children, and she's back at work, and she's not only not satisfied with one job, she's got a couple of jobs, and my boys are the same. They work nearly around the clock like I did, and still do, and they lead a busy life, and they've got children. Well, I've got 7 grandchildren. I've got 5 boys and 2 girls. Between the age of 18 years and 14 years, and babysitting 5 of them all at one time can be a little bit of a handful, but we have no babies now. I ended up buying cots and prams and strollers and every other thing like that, because I had the children quite a lot of a night, and but they all lead busy lives, very busy lives, just the same. And they all live close. They all live here in the Penrith area, and very close to us. And
so you're able to give them support.
Yes, that's right. I work in the business with them, and although I'm their mother, I feel like big sister, and that's the way we are, and that's the way we look upon each other, sort of thing. And we're very close as a family.
And you think growing up in the area for them, living here now, do you think it's better for them than it was for you?
Well, I suppose yes, it is, because there is a lot more opportunity for their own children. Yes, definitely, because their own children have got more opportunity with the universities right at our doorsteps and all that sort of thing, and with the transport, and our grandchildren have got golden opportunities. and they are all doing very well at school, and our oldest grandson, he's going to uni, and the other one will be probably going next year, and they've all got their goals, what they want to do, and it's going to be that their education is going to be much better and more opportunity, definitely, than what we had. You know, the travelling is...
There are still some things that you wouldn't mind having as they were in the old days.
There's some things that I wouldn't mind having, yes, right. I wish that I had the opportunity with the education that they've got today, because to me, fortunately, my grandchildren are reaping every benefit they can get from the education today. But it makes me sad when I hear and I see other young people that are not taking up these opportunities that they've got right at their doorstep to do something with their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a marvellous opportunity for them, and Penrith is such a central place. It's so central to whichever way they wish to go, and they've got such opportunity that, as I say, it makes me sad to see some of the young people that... Are just content to get the dole and not make use of their life.
Mm.
And when you're in business like we are, and you see the young people that come and apply for jobs, it makes, you know, it nearly makes you cry when you know, can hardly write their own name when they've got opportunities like they've got it there, right here. It is. Mm. It's sad.
So, they're good and bad about the changes that have taken place.
Yes, it is, yes. Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of good, and I suppose, you know, there's good and bad in everything sort of thing. As I said, I only wish the opportunity, you know, was knocking at my door, because I know that I would have taken the opportunity, and we're over to the computer age now, and if anyone years ago had said to me anything about a computer, I would not have even entertain the idea that I would ever finish up on a computer. Now I've been working on a computer today most of the day, and I've just followed along, and I just learn, and I've always been one to want to know how to do it and learn. And I've been working on a computer since 1979, and as I said, with the what I call primitive education that I had in the first place, when you've got to depend on a primary school education and then go from that to correspondence. And I finish up doing things like that.
You've certainly moved with the times.
That's right. I've moved with the times. I have tried to keep up with the times. That's why, there's lots of courses that I have taken at the... evening colleges and that, and there's lots more I'd love to take, but I think to myself, well, you know, if I take it, I'm keeping some other young person out of the class, but it may not be that way, I don't know.
Well, I think we might finish off now. It's been most interesting talking to you, and you're an inspiration.